Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps. Sharon, welcome to Money Life.
Thank you.
We are going to be taking our listeners' questions today on the air, and this has become a very popular segment, and it's a fun one. And by the way, speaking of popularity, I'm getting emails that you're becoming very popular.
Really?
Yeah, I think people think you bring a different perspective to these questions than I have.
Well, it's such a joy to get to interact with you and with them and think about how God's working in each of their lives.
Well, I'm going to start with a question emailed me from one of our listeners in Terre Haute, Indiana. And let's see if we agree on this one, Sharon. She writes, "Dear Chuck, we'll be receiving around an $8,000 tax refund." Now, everybody listening needs to tune in because 75% of all Americans are going to receive a tax refund, and the average amount this year is about $2,400. She goes on, "We owe $10,000 on a credit card and pay $200 monthly towards those. We have a $9,200 debt on a car. We're paying $343 towards our monthly payment, and we just had a $7,000 pay cut. What should we do with the tax refund?" Sharon, take a stab at it.
You know what? There seems to be so many options, but I would really focus on two things. One would be to make sure that you've got some savings in your account for buffer, especially with your reduced income. And then secondly, I would start attacking that credit card debt.
Well, we totally agree because this is a process question. What I find, Sharon, is that most people struggle with knowing how to process or allocate the money in the right sequence when they receive it, or even their monthly income. And that's why we designed the Money Map. And the Money Map establishes a very clear pathway of what to do with the resources you have. And contrary to what most people think, getting out of debt is not the first step. The first step is having financial margin. So that's why I agree with your counsel.
Well, that's your buffer, and it keeps you from getting into deeper debt.
So you save $1,000 and you stop increasing debt, period. That way you can begin paying it off. That's always the best financial decision. Save money, live beneath your means, and then get completely out of debt.
That's so true. And I find that when people go with the advice of the world, they actually start backwards and spend first and then figure out how to pay for it.
Or they put money away for long term and then realize they get in a financial pinch and will have to pay a penalty to go get it. That's why this process is so important. Well, if you want a copy of the Money Map, just go online to crown.org, pick it up, and then tune into this program regularly, and we will help you be successful at completing that journey. Today we're going to take your calls. I'm Chuck Bentley. You're listening to Money Life.
Abraham. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me again is Sharon Epps. And Sharon, we're taking calls today.
We're looking forward to hearing what questions you have.
Our first caller is Marty from Colorado. Marty, welcome to Money Life.
Thank you.
Nice to have you, and thanks for listening. How can we help you today?
Well, my husband and I are 62 years old, and we have approximately $70,000 in debt through home equity and car loan and credit cards. Mm-hmm. We do have a 401k. Right now, we're paying mostly just interest, and I was wondering, we do have the 401k. Would it be wise to use some of that money to pay off our loans?
Marty, how much do you have set aside in your 401k?
$110,000.
$110,000. Well, congratulations. You're not upside down. That is great news, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And how is your income?
Okay. It's my husband's working half of what he used to, so we're barely making ends meet at this point. And I do various part-time jobs, but it doesn't really bring in as much as we would like.
Okay. Well, because you're over the required age to be able to withdraw from your 401k without a penalty, I would recommend that you take the money out of your 401k and pay off all of those debts completely.
That's what I was hoping you'd say.
Yeah, well, good. Is your husband going to agree with me?
Yes, he is.
Well, praise the Lord. That is great news. I would clear out your debt, and then I would start over. You're still young enough. You've got a lot of income earning years ahead of you. And I would get on the money map and follow the steps. You've done what so many people do, which is to get money set aside for the future and then start having problems with current liquidity and current cash flow. And what would really bring peace into your home and into your heart would be to have more financial stability. So that's what I would recommend. And I'm glad that you and your husband are on the same page, Marty. Will you do that and let me know how it's going for you?
Okay, I surely will.
And one more thing. And one more thing. Be aware that that will be taxed as income in the calendar year that you take it out. You won't have a penalty for withdrawal, but it will show up as income. So you need to have some of the money available to pay your tax liability once you take it out of your 401k.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay,
Marty.
Thank
you so very much.
Thank you for calling. God bless you.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Chuck, here's our next caller. It's Gloria from Chicago, Illinois. We're so glad to have you today, Gloria.
Hi, how are you?
Doing wonderful.
Hi, Gloria. Glad to have you today.
Thank you.
How can we help you?
Well, I have a couple of questions about my credit. I was divorced in 1997, and during that period, my credit became a real train wreck. And then slowly, I began to rebuild my credit over the years since about 1999. Originally, my FICO score was in the lower 400s, and up to the end of 2009, actually, it had improved to over 600. I have five major credit cards, which I pay no interest, basically, because I do not carry a balance. I pay them off every month. Only one of them have an outstanding balance of $500, which will be paid off, actually, in full this month, which will leave a zero balance. I have five major credit cards, combinations of Master and Visa cards, which carry a combined balance right now of $4,000. The problem is I no longer wanted to carry this much credit any longer. But in order to keep the cards from being canceled, because I haven't decided what to do about it, I would make an occasional purchase just to keep them from closing. I am also an entrepreneur, and I will need credit. But with me wanting to be debt-free by the end of December 2011, I find myself systematically going back to these cards. But by closing them, my credit score will drop. So would it make a difference with my score by just calling the creditors or sending a letter of communication to cancel or stop using them? Or should I let the cards cancel themselves out? Or should I, you know, keep the cards open and just kind of hope for the best where I am concerned? Because at this point, with over $20,000 worth of available credit, things can pop up, and it's a lot easier to pull out plastic than it is to come up with cash at that moment.
Okay, Gloria, I'm going to see if I understand your scenario. You say you have 10 credit card accounts with $20,000 of available credit. Most of them you pay off every month with no balance, but you have two of them with a $5,000 balance that you're carrying.
Combined.
Okay. So your concern is that if you close the other, say, eight accounts, that you're going to get a negative credit score.
Correct.
Okay. Well, the worst thing you could possibly do is to carry those balances and add to those balances and get a negative credit score by not being able to pay these debts off. So even if you close those accounts and your credit temporarily is diminished, you're going to be okay because your credibility is intact. You're managing your finances in the appropriate way. So I would recommend that all of those outstanding accounts that you're not really using and you don't really need today to go ahead and close them, and then to begin to pay off the balances on those two that you have the $5,000 with, and then manage those without carrying a balance at all. Because when you start your business, or are you in business right now, Gloria?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have my first children's book that will be coming out this weekend. So, and I know that when you need credit with a printer and, you know, for marketing, book signings and that kind of things, I know it will cost, you know.
Yes, it will. But there's two things I want you to understand. Your credibility is really where your credit comes from. So
okay.
Managing these accounts wisely gives you great credibility with your vendors. Secondly,
okay.
As an entrepreneur, I want you to try to operate your business on a cash basis. Most businesses get in trouble by borrowing too much. So learn to operate your small business more on a cash basis than looking to credit. And if you do that, those lenders will line up to have your business. You won't have to worry a thing about that.
And Gloria, let me ask you, do you have someone in your life that you can be accountable to related to this credit?
You know something, really, I do have a friend that's a CPA, and so occasionally I would go to her and generally just ask her questions. So I believe that she would be more than willing to help me in this particular area because, you know, when I have so much credit, I'm finding myself systematically, you know, where I used to do cash, I would just quickly just pull out a card for my business. And, you know, and I'm glad that I received that piece of advice to try to operate my business at this point more on a cash basis as opposed to credit.
Well, Gloria, does that help you today?
Yes, sir, it did. Thank you all so much.
Well, thank you, and let's stay in touch.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
The price of higher education has skyrocketed. According to a recent Gallup survey, families spend almost $15,000 per student per year of college, and many students often spend years just trying to decide which degree they need to pursue. Wouldn't it be better to help your child figure out what they need to study before they arrive on campus? You can, with the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Unlike other assessments that only examine one or two areas of career selection, Career Direct analyzes personality, interests, skills, and values. Your child can use it to explore career options and find the one God has uniquely gifted them for. Over 150,000 people of all ages have benefited from Career Direct. Check it out at careerdirectonline.org and get a free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps. And Sharon, Gloria was just a real encourager, wasn't she?
She really was. And I'm so thankful for how diligent she's been and how practically she's approaching this issue of getting out of debt.
Well, I love the fact that she went through a very hard time in 1997. She can benchmark the day when she really began to turn it around. But she was a little bit overly concerned about that FICO score. And so many people worry about that when the real issue is your personal integrity, your personal credibility. And I think she's going to be liberated from being overly concerned about what FICO thinks about her.
I think she will be too.
Well, we got more calls. Let's jump right back into them.
Well, our next caller is Mark from here in Georgia. Mark, welcome.
Thank you.
How can we help you?
Well, I have a mortgage on my house, right at $50,000, and I have around $80,000 in my retirement savings.
Okay.
And I have a pretty high interest rate. I never did refinance, and I was wondering if it would what I would be into if I took this retirement money and paid this mortgage off. Would that be the best thing, or would it be better to refinance?
Well, Mark, it depends on how old you are. How old are you right now?
I'm 48.
Okay, well, you've got a ways to go before you could withdraw that money from your retirement account. I assume it's in an account that had tax advantages, an IRA or a 401k?
Well, it was really in a DRIP account with a company that I had left previously, a dividend reinvestment. That's what it's set up as. And so it's just in a regular stock. It's in stock, mainly. That's all it is.
Okay. And, is it earning any return right now?
Yes, sir.
Well, my recommendation with the interest rate you have, did you say it was about 8% or more?
Yes, sir.
My recommendation would be to refinance the house.
Okay.
Leave your $80,000 in your retirement fund. Let it continue to grow. And then pay off or refinance that $50,000 probably with a 15-year mortgage. If you go to bankrate.com, average rates right now for 15-year fixed rate mortgages are 4.36% when I checked yesterday.
Right.
So that's a 50% reduction. And
right.
if you do a 15-year note and you really get after it, you can be debt-free probably in 4 or 5 years. So
okay.
that would be my recommendation, Mark.
You know, Mark, at Crown.org, we have mortgage calculators that give you the opportunity to plug in your current numbers as well as refinance numbers and see how quickly you could pay off the debt. So we want to encourage you to use that tool as well.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Mark, does that help?
Yes, sir, that'd be it. That really helped.
Well, thanks for listening and thanks for calling.
Yes, sir, thank you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Well, Sharon, some people may be wondering why we would recommend refinance when the goal ultimately is to get debt free. He has cash sitting there. Why didn't we say, let's just get the cash out of the bank and pay off the mortgage?
Well, the rule of thumb that I usually use is if you're able to refinance with a greater than 2 percentage point drop, then it usually pays off in a lot less interest over the life of your loan.
That's exactly the rule of thumb that we recommend here. If you're thinking about refinancing and you can lower your mortgage rate, a fixed mortgage rate, by at least 2 points, then you're probably money ahead. Now, you can go on Crown.org and look at the calculators and do the math yourself. But here's something important to remember. When you refinance, you actually reset or restart the way your payments are applied to your balance, and it's almost all interest. Now, if you're really deep into your mortgage right now, meaning that you're way beyond, say, the halfway point of paying it back, you're paying mostly principal. And when you refinance, you start over with mostly interest. That's why I recommend a 15-year term and then really increase the amount you're paying towards principal so that you're making quicker progress. I think it's a very good plan for anybody who is carrying a high mortgage rate right now.
It is. And we also want to encourage you to look at the cost of that refinance and be sure and shop that very carefully.
And Bankrate.com is one of my favorite resources out there, as well as the calculators on Crown.org.
Well, here's our next question from Rich in Leo, Indiana. Welcome, Rich.
Hi, Rich. Welcome to Money Life.
Hi. Thanks, Chuck.
How you doing today?
Doing pretty good. Just ran out to my car to get to the phone.
Well, thank you. Okay. Well, how can we help you today?
Well, the last couple of years, we've been really trying to get some progress on the money map, and we've been having difficulty getting that 6 months of living expenses. My situation, we have no other debt besides a home that we have about 40% equity in, but with our living expenses, it's been difficult to collect 6 months' worth of extra living expenses in the case that we need something, an emergency.
Yeah. Rich, how much is your emergency reserve now?
We have about 2 months right now.
And how do you feel about your job security?
You know, I work for a very, very stable company. I'm a software engineer, but I guess my job security isn't really tied to a company, I don't think. I think it's more tied to, you know, my abilities.
Yeah.
I feel good about where I am, but if something would change, you know, as the economy has been kind of doing this tailspin, that's I don't have a whole lot of options locally.
Yeah. Well, Rich, one of the reasons that the money map exists is because so many people get confused about the sequence of where to allocate their resources. And like you, they get involved in long-term planning, and the short-term catches up with them. And so what I would recommend is that you resequence how you're using the available cash that you have. Now, 2 months is a really good amount of margin, especially if your job's not in jeopardy. But we're recommending 6 months because that's the average amount of time to transition to reemployment today. So that gives you a good safety net. And if you're making 401k contributions at work, you could either suspend those or you could begin to reduce that amount and to allocate more resources into your emergency fund. And I realize most advisors are going to say that the 401k is the most important part of your contribution because you're probably getting a match. Is your company matching you today?
Yes, they do.
Well, Rich, I want you to hang on. We got to take a quick break, and we'll pick up right where we left off when we continue.
Great.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you that in 10 short weeks you could decrease your debt, increase your savings, and strengthen your relationships while growing spiritually? Sound too good to be true? Well, all of these results are being reported by thousands who have completed the Biblical Financial Study from Crown Financial Ministries. This 10-week study teaches you more than practical principles about managing money. It focuses on the life-changing truth of God's Word. Individuals are being transformed as they learn proven biblical principles and how to apply them to their finances. To find a biblical financial study group in your area, go online to the My Crown section of crown.org. And if there's not a Crown 10-week biblical financial study already planned in your area, consider starting one. To find out how, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. On the phone with us now is Rich, a software engineer from Indiana, standing outside on your mobile phone. Rich, welcome back to the program.
Thanks.
Sorry to keep you waiting. Now, Rich, I was recommending that you consider reallocating some of the money that you're putting into your 401k and start to build up that emergency fund. Is there enough contribution there that if you split that allocation that you could get this 6 months goal achieved?
It would take some time. It'd probably take a few years to build up 6 months. My salary is fairly high, so it would take quite a while to get to that point where I would be able to replace 6 months of income.
Okay. Well, my recommendation is to make the 6 month emergency fund a priority, even if you reallocated 100% of what you're contributing into your retirement funds until you get that 6 month, because it sounds like at your age, you've got many years to recover on your long-term contributions and your short-term is your most pressing need.
Rich, do you have any other possibilities for increasing your 6 month living expenses?
Well, we do. We actually send our children to Christian school, and both of them are getting to the age where we're considering moving them to a public school. So that's part of our crunch in our expenses to help the school that we send them to, you know, cost a little bit of money per month, actually more than I actually contribute to my 401k. So that's another option.
Okay. And what about your housing expense, Rich?
Yeah, it is around the 25% of the net that I bring home, including the mortgage and all the utility expenses.
Yeah, so that's actually within the recommended budget parameters, so I don't see that as something that is necessary in terms of downsizing for you to increase your financial margin. It sounds like there's some other areas where you may be able to find some savings in your budget in order to increase this contribution every month.
You know, it might be helpful, Rich, if you haven't, to get the Crown Money Map. In fact, we'll be happy to send you one and look at your life purpose and goals in light of these decisions. And perhaps you and your wife can sit down and actually rank what's most important to you. And I think that will also help you sort it out.
Well, and that's what we have been doing. And the Christian education has been very beneficial. We've really noticed partnering with us, the school, has really made a difference in the way that kids view the world, you know, a worldview that's much more biblically based than we see coming from, you know, some of their friends that aren't having that instruction and aren't having that connection at home. So that's been tough for us to make that decision to pull them out of that.
Well, Rich, we're running out of time on the air, but I'd like you to stay on. I want to talk to you a few minutes off the air, but thanks for calling today.
Thank you.
Well, Sharon, there are a lot of questions about debt and having that emergency savings in place and getting on the Money Map.
We want to encourage people to go to crown.org and join this Money Map journey with everyone else.
You've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back again next week.